One Man's Family, brought to you every weekday night at this time, transcribed by Miles Laboratories, makers of Alka-Seltzer, and many other fine, dependable pharmaceutical products. Overheard between Clifford, Fanny, and Henry in the library.
What's going on in here?
Clifford, your father's trying to get Pinky on the phone. He's late for his gardening job.
This is the last time he'll be late, I'll promise you that. He is under obligation to me for a considerable sum of money, and by the time he has worked it out, he will have learned about responsibility, honest workmanship, industry, duty to his employer, and promptness. That boy is going to learn a lesson he'll never forget.
Mm-hmm. So that's how it is with the barbers today. Don't you find that sometimes at bedtime, something you've eaten is causing your stomach to feel upset, uncomfortable with acid indigestion? Well, there's no need to let this common ailment rob you of a good night's sleep. Just remember to take Alka-Seltzer before you go to bed. That's right. Drop one or two Alka-Seltzer tablets in a glass of water and drink this before you go to bed. Alka-Seltzer will relieve that uncomfortable feeling in your stomach, so you'll sleep better and wake up feeling better next morning. That's a real tip, friends, so remember it, won't you? Take Alka-Seltzer before you go to bed. Chapter 5, Book 80. Henry Barber's grandson, Pinky, having flunked out of Stanford in the first quarter of his freshman year, leaving heavy debts behind him, is now under obligation to repay his grandfather some $250, all with the sweat of his brow in the big garden of the Barber family home. It is 9:15 in the morning now in Seacliff, San Francisco, and Pinky was due at his grandfather's at 8. Henry is at the telephone for the 8th time by actual count and once again gets the busy signal. Furiously, he dials the operator.
Hello? Operator? Will you kindly, if you please, check on my daughter's telephone number and find out if the phone is out of order? What? Oh, Exbrook 26482. It can't be as busy that long. The wires, no doubt, are dangling on the ground. The service is terrible. Well, kindly check on it.
Henry?
9:15, Fred. 9:16. Where is that boy? Will you tell me? Do you hear at 8 and it's 9:16?
Henry, it's not my fault.
A whole generation with no sense of responsibility, indulged by their parents, brought up under a soft philosophy that tries to make...
Henry, are you talking to me or the operator?
The operator? How can I talk to the operator? She's disappeared. They come on the line with their bright, cheery voices and say, yes, sir, and click a switch and leave you in a void. Much more to this, and I'll write a strong letter to the Railway Commission. Now, where did you go? Where are you, operator? Hello?
What's going on?
Oh, Clifford, your father is mad at the President of the United States and the telephone company because Hazel's line is busy.
I'm trying to find out if it's out of order. They say, just a moment, please, sir, and go out for a cup of coffee. Yes? Well, operator? There's a conversation on the line? Well, who's talking over there? All right, never mind, never mind.
You want me to go over and get Pinky, Dad?
Thank you, no, Clifford.
Boy, you can't win.
There's no need to speak to Clifford so sharply, Henry. He was offering to do something for you.
I was not speaking sharply, Clifford. I shall handle this whole affair myself, that's all, in my own fashion. My grandson is going to come home on the dot of 8 and not leave here until on the dot of 5. And when I get hold of him this morning, this will be the last time he'll ever be late. That young man, for the first time in his life, is going to find out what work really is. Yes, his sins have caught up with him, Fanny. You hear that, Clifford?
Huh?
His sins have caught up with him. He is under obligation to me for a considerable sum of money. And by the time he has worked it out, he will have learned about responsibility, industry, honest workmanship, duty to his employer, and promptness.
You try the phone, Clifford. Your father's so worked up, he's probably dialed the wrong number.
Okay, Mom.
I can dial the telephone, Fanny.
Oh, Henry, stop it. I can't stand any more of it.
I'll get it, Dan.
Why don't you walk over and get him, instead of delivering the lectures to Clifford and me?
Because an employer does not go call his employee, Fanny. Not yet. We're reaching that point, but we aren't there yet. This generation has been softened up until they'll soon insist on being picked up for work in a chauffeur-driven limousine.
You'll get that buzz, Dad. Somebody's talking.
All this time, it can't be Clifford. It's out of order, but who cares? Nobody cares. They'd let the lines dangle on the ground and whip around in the wind. Why, nobody stays on the telephone for hours at a time. Their arm would cramp and they couldn't hold the receiver.
Wait a minute, honey. I want to get the receiver in my other hand. Okay. There. What was it you said, honey? Oh, yeah, sure. But I probably can't get over there until kind of late, after dinner. I'm doing a little work for my grandfather. You know, gardening and stuff, just to help him out. His gardener's away just now. It won't be too hard. Hmm? No, I'm starting today. Yeah, this morning. How's your dad, Eunice? Hey, I forgot to ask you, when are you going to take the boat out again?
Uh-huh.
You betcha. Now, you got a mighty fine quality in your voice, Eunice. No, I'm not kidding. I like everything about you. Oh, I like the color of your hair. Huh? Well, sun-bleached. Sure, that's what I'd call it. Huh? Oh, don't you worry about that. Tall girls can wear clothes. You look in Vogue and Harper's Bazaar in those magazines. They never have little squat girls modeling the drapes. Tall gals every time. Well, you're perfect. Don't you worry about anything. Hmm? No, I'm home alone. In the den. And my mother went over to Aunt Claudia's and they talk for hours. Yeah, a couple of women. You know how they go on when they get together.
Who's there?
Uh-oh.
I'm here, Mom.
Yeah, just walk in. So long, Eunice. Yeah, so long.
Pinky?
Hello, Mom. Been to Aunt Claudia's? How's everybody over there?
Pinky, why aren't you at your grandfather's working? You were supposed to be there at 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
Have you got a cold? When did you get that?
Just cubby down with it, Bob.
Let me feel your forehead.
I didn't think it would be too good for me to go out in the sun and sweat and just add to this.
No temperature at all.
Oh, tight across my chest.
Hold out your tongue.
Mom.
Hold out your tongue. I don't think you've got a cold at all, Pinky.
Okay, I'll go then. But, Mom, I met a fellow at Stanford that worked in the hayfields, and he went out one day with a cold and got double pneumonia. You realize the human body is now building up resistance to penicillin?
You weren't at Stanford long enough to meet anybody that actually worked anywhere.
Excuse me, Mom, I think I've got a sneeze again.
Pinky, let me warn you, your grandfather's not the sort of man you can trifle with. Now, you owe him to...
Mom, I'm going to pay him. I'll work. I said I would. But, gee, gods, 85 cents an hour. That doesn't arouse much enthusiasm in anybody. Do you realize that at 85 cents an hour, I'll still be working for him New Year's?
Now, Pinky, you just stop this. You take your sweater, keep it on, and get over to your grandfather's. What did he say when you phoned him?
Phoned him when?
Do you mean to say you haven't even called him? Pinky, it's almost 9:30.
Okay. I'll work later this evening, then. What difference does it make?
You left this receiver off the hook.
Huh?
That receiver wasn't on the hook properly. Were you talking to somebody?
Huh?
Stop it.
Stop what, Mom?
That business. Pinky, don't underestimate me. It makes me furious. Oh, I know. I'll bet you were talking to Eunice.
Huh? Where'd you hear that name?
Oh, I'm not supposed to know about Eunice.
What about her? What'd you hear about her?
I probably know more than you think I do about a great many things, Pinky. Get on that phone now, and you tell your grandfather you're coming right over and tell him you're very sorry you're late.
First, I want to know where you found out about Eunice. Yeah, Eunice called up here once, didn't she? Huh? Didn't she, Mom? She told me she left her name one time. Making a big mystery out of it, as if you'd hired a private eye. Shame on you, Mom. That's faking.
She left the name Eunice, Pinky. She was very furtive about her last name. Who is she?
Oh, just a gal I met at Stanford, that's all. Just a gal. Plays a little tennis and stuff. Merely a friend of mine, Mom. I know a lot of people you never met. Why do you make a big production of it?
Call your grandfather and then get over there.
Okay.
I'm in despair for you, Pinky. I really am. I'm in despair for you. You have no sense of obligation. You're not forthright with me anymore.
Oh, now, Mom.
You should be grateful to your grandfather. You borrowed money to buy a lot of silly clothes. He paid it for you. It seems to me if you were any kind of a boy at all, Pinky...
Hello? Mr. Kelton? Let me speak to my grandfather, please.
Oh, never mind.
Mom, I'm going to take care of everything. I don't know why you worry about me. I just got one little hump to get over. This $250. And then I'm going to be on top of the world. You watch and see. Why, say, by the time I'm 30... Hello? Oh, wasn't he there? Oh, well, tell him Pinky called, will you? But I'll be right over. Thank you, Mrs. Kelman. You see? Going away somewhere. He didn't even miss me.
Go on. Get over there, and you work hard, William. Try to earn your money.
Oh, I've got to change my clothes first.
What's the matter with those? Those are old pants.
I'm going to wear my shorts, Mom. You'll have me down on my knees, grubbing around in the dirt.
Pinky?
He's here in the den, Father, pretending to have a cold.
What is it?
Oh, Father, I'm sorry.
I kind of woke up with a cold, Grandfather. But I was going to put on my sweater and come over anyway. I'm sorry.
What do you think, Hazel?
He hasn't any cold at all. I'm ashamed of him.
Oh, gee whiz.
Stop that.
Sure. I was telling Mom I'm kind of worried about a guy that got pneumonia from working in a hayfield after he had a cold, but I'll...
My boy, you owe me $250. Hereafter, your day will start at 8 o'clock and end at 5. And not 8:10 or 8:15, Pinky, or 9:30, but at 8 o'clock, Pinky.
Yes, sir.
And you don't wash up at 4:45 either. You'll start washing up at 5:01.
Well, Grandfather...
Young man, stop interrupting me. Let me tell you what I'll do for your court. You'll be working for me now. If you don't miss a day, you'll still be working for me at Christmas time. Very well. If your cold should develop into a serious illness, I'll pay the hospital expenses and you can work for me until June if necessary. Now, march, young man. There's never any foolishness when people work for me.
The barbers will be back in just a moment. Let's look in on this home scene. The man of the house is doing a little repair work.
Oh, my finger, the saw slipped.
And... Now, wait a minute. I'll go get the back team.
What did she say?
She said she'd go get the back team.
I never heard of it.
You will, mister, and you'll never forget it.
Yeah, now, let me see that finger.
Oh, now, Nix, honey. It hurts bad enough without having that port on it.
But back team won't sting like those other things you've been using. See?
Ah.
It won't stain either, and it has a nice smell.
Say, by George, you're right. What did you say the name is?
Bactine. It's a marvelous new antiseptic made by the makers of Alka-Seltzer. And it's a fungicide, too. You ought to start using it on your athlete's foot.
Yes, an all-round family antiseptic, germicide, and fungicide. That's Bactine. Never have you seen anything exactly like Bactine. We want you to try it. And to help you try this really wonderful new product, you can get your first bottle on a no-risk, double-your-money-back guarantee. Get a bottle of Bactine from your druggist. And if you don't think it is the finest general-purpose germicide you ever used... If you don't find more uses for it than any other antiseptic you ever used, return the empty bottle to Miles Laboratories, tell why you don't like it, and get double your money back. That's Bactine. Bactine. Here's the family again.
You see, Grandfather, what really happened was I also got tied up on the telephone and...
And you'll learn another thing. People who work for me never make excuses. Quicken your stride, young man. We haven't got all day.
Friends, remember, try Bactine, the marvelous new family antiseptic and general-purpose germicide. Get it on the no-risk guarantee of double your money back if you're not satisfied. Go to your drugstore and get a 30 or 70-cent bottle of Bactine. Try it for many of its amazing uses. Then, if you don't think Bactine is the finest family antiseptic you've ever used, if you don't find more uses for it than any other antiseptic you ever used, return the empty bottle to Miles Laboratories, tell why you don't like it, and get double your money back. Get it right away. Bactine. Bactine. One Man's Family is brought to you every weekday night at this time, transcribed by Miles Laboratories, makers of Alka-Seltzer. Monday, you can lead a horse to water, but... Chapter 6, Book 80. This is a Carlton E. Morse production, directed by Michael Raffetto.